passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're a couple of minutes away from heading to Tuscaloosa, talking to one of the stars of the Alabama Crimson Tide as they get ready to go out west to Phoenix. Let's grab some more calls, and Hunter is up next. Hey, Hunter.
Hey, Paul. I don't know what that guy from Indiana is smoking. I mean, the Indiana losers hadn't been relevant since the movie come out, so I don't hear nothing about that. And talking about Tennessee getting jobs, man, they didn't do like North Carolina State. Let the werewolves hang and teabag them, because North Carolina State, that's exactly what happened with them. As far as Connecticut, Bama's going to handle them. You know that we're the GOAT. Nate Oates is the man. Sign Steele. Man, come on, y'all reaching. Come on, Paul, get on the bandwagon.
Thanks for the call. Ken is up next in Georgia. Hey, Ken, go right ahead.
Yeah, Ken, I've listened to your program. I really appreciate the program you have.
Thank you. Especially
for sports fans such as I am. It's super, you know, positive and very good. I like it. I want to comment. I've been watching recently, and you and your guest, ESPN guest, commented on the 7-9 Michigan Indiana game, and I saw that game not as a national fan, but as a pure sports fan.
Right.
I saw that as a game between two good teams with two great stars. One happened to be black, and one happened to be white. To a sports fan, that it made no difference whatsoever. And the level of interest of women's basketball, of course, is a current thing, but it began, to me, at a national level with Tennessee and Connecticut. And it had to do with the coaches as much as with the teams. And it sort of died down, the interest died down some, and now it's back again with South Carolina. South Carolina is...
Yeah, by the way, Ken, you're right. That game, and they used to play... I think they often played twice a year, often on Martin Luther King Day. The Gino versus Pat game really put women's basketball on a map.
Yeah, and it had to do with pure sports and two stars as coaches. Then South Carolina comes along with a super basketball team, and it's a great team. We may not know who the individuals are so much, but we know that they have a great team, so interest is created. Now we come down to, I wouldn't say the culmination, I'd just say another great game coming up tonight. It so happens that the two good teams with two stars, with Angel and Clark.
Right.
I don't think a sports fan sees that as a black and white. I just don't.
Ken, I don't either. I think what happened was this one writer went low, and there was a reaction to it. But thank you very much for a very thoughtful call. I'm sure we'll have another thoughtful call right now, Randy, as we go to New Orleans and say hello to Dwayne.
Hey, man, why y'all fire that woman from Tennessee, man? Huh?
Dwayne, we're really not in charge of personnel in Knoxville.
What? That woman did a good job over there in Tennessee. Y'all got rid of that woman. You must have had something to do with that.
No, I would not have fired her. I would have given her another year.
Yeah, that woman did a damn good job, Paul. You know what I'm saying? But check this out, Paul. Look at LSU baseball went from number 2, number 8, and now number 18 in the country. But Jay Johnson got to go, huh? Huh? He got to get out of that with that. Now he got swept by Arkansas.
Wayne, you and your buddy Augie, it's one series in March that you're overreacting to, as usual.
What? Something got to shake, man. Hey, something got to shake in Baton Rouge, man. Went from number 2 rank, number he got ranked for number 2. He was ranked number 2.
Dwayne, I really don't care. I mean, you're showing your fandom, and it's rather embarrassing.
All right. Hey, check this out. Hey, Paul, check this out now. Andrew Reese tonight.
Yeah.
You think Andrew Reese last year championship, all right, against Iowa. You think she was the man thing beat them people? No, she wasn't. It was that girl with that blonde hair came off the bench with that – she scored 27 points off the bench. That's how LSU beat Iowa last year. But
well,
they don't
Dwayne,
have that.
It is still a team sport. Last I checked. Thanks for the call. Johnny B is up next.
Hey, Paul. Been a good show today.
Thank you, Johnny.
I want to tell you something. I get on your butt. You get on mine every now and then. But I'm going to brag on you because finally, after all these years, you've always been hesitant when callers say anything about officiating. But I think it's got to the point that even you, as objective and as nice a guy as you are, can see. And I mean, it's kind of like it takes away from the game and it takes away from the show when everybody just, you know, to me, acts like the refs are something that we can't talk about. And it's killing
well,
the game.
Yeah, I'm having obviously a little fun with it today for a couple of reasons. But I think sometimes fans just blatantly always see things through their own eyes. But I don't think that's the case here today.
I think we're all guilty of that. I mean, if it's your team, you get a bad call here or there. But I think over the past few years, and I'm just going to say it, since gambling's kicked in, I think that's played a big part of it, and we can't prove it, and there's no way of it. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But, you know, you said earlier you were wondering why it takes sometimes 10 minutes to go to the thing and do a replay. Have you ever – you know, logged on, you know, earlier you were talking about reading a newspaper article and not losing interest versus
right.
trying to go through an article. Yeah. Well, I think what they have to do when they go over there is they have to go through that prove you're not a robot, pick out the red light.
Yeah,
the
yeah no, you're right. I swore I saw the official yesterday in the Duke game. He was saying, you know, which one of these eight blocks has a bicycle in it?
True. Yeah. I mean, there's no way. Even
you had to click every one.
Even the computer knows that yeah. no human being could make a call that bad. So that's
well, here's the truth of that, Johnny B. And I've gotten to know a lot of officials, and there is no worse TV hog in the world than a basketball official. I think football officials, by and large, are a little more militaristic. They're regimented. They know their job. Go do it. Move on. Basketball officials are all drama queens.
Hey, do you remember there was a time
they think they're in the Wizard of Oz in their junior high play.
None of them had short sleeves. They were just average Joes. They really cared about
Johnny B. While I'm on a roll, tell me this. I remember when I was on the playground in third grade, we all played. What was that song, In a Circle? Ring around the and you hold everybody.
Ring around the rosy.
Why did the officials yesterday, all day long and all week, why do they all have to hold each other while they're talking about the call?
They get to put, you know, they get in that call and they can flex. And
I don't
they can
understand
turn
that.
In a circle, and it shows that they're all into each other. But yeah. you know, they got to get.
I tell you what, Johnny B. I officially hate all basketball officials. Can I go ahead and say it?
Yeah. Hey, throw me in there. I think I've made my feelings.
No, I'm showing my bias here, but why not? I mean, they drive me crazy.
Well, there's no consistency, Paul. There's no. Anybody, basketball used to be a non-contact sport. I have never seen.
And Johnny, think about this for a second. To get to this level, you have to be the creme de la creme. Can you imagine the clowns that get left at home who do the games?
I mean,
these are the best officials.
Really? What's so bad? Is
can you imagine? These are like the upper 5%. Can you imagine like 10%, the guys who are 10%? Yeah, we can't imagine them because
sure.
we see them officiate every single night during the regular season. Johnny B., thank you for the call. I got that off my chest. I'll probably get reprimanded by the league office. We'll take a short break. We'll head to Alabama. I know we've talked about it, but we're not going to stop. Alabama heading to the Final Four, and we'll talk to one of the stars of the team right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to our program, and certainly the topic today has concentrated on Alabama getting ready for its first ever Final Four run, and Mark Sears has played a monumental role in that, and he joins us now from Tuscaloosa. Mark, first of all, congratulations. I can only imagine, and we're all excited to hear what these last 40 hours or so have been like. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So take it from the moment that game ended. I realize you have spent a lot of time in the clouds flying back, but other than the time in the air, what's it been like?
Oh, man, it's been very joyful. You know, it's been a great experience, you know, just celebrating with the team and with the fans and realizing that we made history being the first team to go to the Final Four.
I know there's so many aspects of this. For a player, you spent a long time on the West Coast from round, the first and second round to the round of 16 and 8, but you're concentrating, and there's often not much time to enjoy it. It can occasionally be a joyless experience, but it seems, based on the smile you have, it's been a lot of fun. Can you let loose a little bit, even though you still have a couple more games perhaps to play?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, especially when we got back, you know, we had a big crowd of fans just celebrating us as we walked out. And you know, and today we had watched film, so we're trying to put that behind us and lock in for our next opponent.
And before we look ahead, just this run. I mean, you were there on Selection Sunday, watching all the so-called experts pick everyone other than Alabama to get very far. Is that something that motivates you guys, or are you used to it this year?
Oh, for sure. You know, that's something that definitely motivated us. You know, hearing everybody talk about our defense and how bad it was. You know, that's something that everybody took personal on our team, and I'll hopefully change that topic.
A little bit different than last year when the shoe was on the other foot, so to speak. You were the number one seed. Was there anything in particular that ignited your team, or was it just a collection of disrespect?
I say it's just a collection of disrespect. You know, just hearing it from the media, just saying these guys are going to be out the first round. They're going to get upset by Charleston. And just when we kept on winning, team, they just kept saying, oh, they're not going to make it. They're not going to win. They're too soft. And we just kept finding ways to motivate us to win the games.
And guess what, Mark? They're saying it again about Saturday night. I know you're watching film. You're not getting hung up on the pundits, but you know how good UConn is.
Oh yeah, for sure. They're the national champions, reigning national champions. And you know, just to continue to have that underdog mentality. You know, when people keep doubting us, and you know, that's what we feed off of.
It seems like we were talking to some of your friends on the football team who had a similar approach a couple of months ago. I know that one thing doesn't necessarily rub off, but the whole Lank thing with the players on the football team. Did you? I mean, I know you guys are busy playing, but did any of that rub off? And what's it been like trying to do a similar thing and show and prove everyone wrong?
I say it definitely did, you know, because, you know, they went through that. That's the same thing we're going through, you know. Just we need to just continue to prove people wrong, and that's our motto. We love proving people wrong.
Well, you have done a really good job of that. For those of us who have covered Alabama basketball for many eons, this day never seemed like it was going to happen. I know that you're young and you really don't quite appreciate what other teams have gone through, but I'm sure you can read it on the fans' expression. What does it mean to you and your teammates to have finally done something that no Alabama team has ever done?
Like I said earlier, it's glad to be a part of history and to see the joy on fans' faces that we're walking around Tuscaloosa, just getting some food, you know, just having fans come up and tell us that we've been looking for this moment for 20 plus years, and for y'all to do that, it was really special.
Mark, how do you fade all that out though? Because you're about to go to a play. I mean, every site is exciting. Whether you know you start out in Spokane or got down to LA, but nothing is quite like a Final Four. I know you've seen the tournament as long as you've been alive, but it is unadulterated chaos. So, what are your coaches telling you about how to deal with what you're about to get into in Arizona?
They told us that the media that we thought we were getting now in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, that's nothing compared to the Final Four. And, you know, we're going down there with staying focused, and we're obviously going to enjoy the media, but that's not why we're there. We're there to win a basketball game.
Mark, I know that you thought about it a lot last year when so much was expected, but can you go back in your still young life and remember the first time you saw a Final Four championship? I mean, did you start thinking, like a lot of young kids, man, that would be pretty cool to be in?
Yeah, I go back to when Kentucky was in a Final Four, and they played Wisconsin, I think, in the national championship.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah, they played them in a national championship game, and I was like, man, I really want to be a part of this one day. I can see myself playing in a Final Four one day. And, you know, that's what really motivated me and driven me to have that hunger to be a part of it.
Yeah, and unfortunately that was the perfect team that didn't end up perfect, and Kentucky has not been back since. And here you are with your teammates. You briefly mentioned the film session on UConn. Let's talk a little bit about what you've seen so far, and you'll see a lot more. You know they're the reigning champion. They are not just winning. They're just taking teams apart. What do you see on film when you take a look at them? And obviously you've seen them play this year.
Oh, they're a very good team. You know, they play together, and they're just, you can tell that they have chemistry just basically from having the same team basically from last year. You can tell they play with a lot of chemistry on the floor. So, you know, that's what we've seen on film.
Mark, I want to talk a little bit before you go, and I know I realize you're just from film session and practice, and it's pretty chaotic, but we appreciate you sharing some thoughts with us. Let's talk about Coach Oates for a second. Most of your coaches last year left for better situations, become head coaches, and somehow, some way, Coach Oates has really managed to reignite this program with new personnel, a lot of new players. Tell us what he means to you guys on the court.
He changed the program around, and he changed my career around and everybody's career around. You know, he brings that winning culture to the program. You know, he's going to get the best out of each and every one of his players, and you know that's what we can ask for as players, to get better, and he's going to get the best out of us.
Marky, I know him moderately well. He seems low key. Something tells me he's not low key when you're at practice or in the huddle. Take us inside there. What's he really like?
Off the court, he's really cool. But once you step on the court, it's all fun and games aside. Where it's straight business, and he's gonna let you hear it in a good way and out of love. But we both got the same thing, and that's winning. So we're willing to do and hear whatever he has to say to get the job done.
Listen, you guys would not be sitting at this precipice right now if you weren't great competitors and champions. But I want to ask you about the difference between getting to the Final Four, which quite frankly, other than maybe for a handful of schools, is the goal every single season. You've gotten that part out of the way now, but you want to win a championship. How do you get over the fact that you made it to the Final Four and now, you know, pull a major upset and be in that game Monday night with the whole world watching?
Oh, yeah. Just getting the thought of we made it to the Final Four, it all ended when we started our film session today. And, you know, that's when our minds shifted. We got to win another game. We're still one of the four teams alive, and our job's not done yet.
I know you're not. Your job's not done yet, but I can imagine everybody you've ever met and probably some you never remember meeting have reached out congratulating you, asking for tickets, doing whatever people do at crazy maniacal times like this. How do you and your teammates deal with all the extraneous off the court stuff that you really don't need to be dealing with right now?
Oh yeah, we try to stay focused. We try not to be on our phones that much because we do realize that if we're on our phones, could be on the phone for like an hour just trying to get back to the people, reaching out to them, and just trying to stay focused and get off your phones as much as we can.
Finally, we've talked about you and your teammates. You've got a lot of friends and family who I know are enjoying this. What's it been like for them to experience it with you and your friends?
They really been enjoying it. My family been enjoying it. My mom, you know, she got the free throw routine, and she's really been enjoying it.
I've read a lot about it. Let's talk about her before you go, because she certainly seems inspirational. I know all mom-son relationships are different, but this one sounds pretty special.
So she's been doing that free throw routine since I was like in third grade. So like she's been the same exact person that she is now is in third grade. So like it's new to everybody else, but it's just the same to me.
Well, she's gotten a lot of TV time, and I have a feeling she's going to get a lot more Saturday night. Mark, congratulations. Go back to work, and everybody is so proud of you. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark Sears, joining us from Tuscaloosa, right out of film session as the Crimson Tide heads to Phoenix for the national semifinals Saturday night. We'll be right back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Great to have you with us on what's been an eventful Monday afternoon. Josh is up next in Queens. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Paul. I don't know if you remember me, but I called you a couple weeks ago, and you did a good job of making fun of me because I don't know if you remember, I'm a Tennessee alum just like yourself.
I do remember
called
you.
Called you to talk. Oh, thanks for remembering me. You talked to a lot of people. And, you know, I really kind of pointed out the
you talked about officiating, didn't you?
Yes, sir. And the experience that we've had as volunteers, like you said today against Purdue, and I just want to say I'm proud of you. You know, you're using your platform to speak up on behalf of our sacred alma mater, and the whole country knows we got ham jobs here. It was disgraceful what happened with Edie. I mean, you could blow on the guy and they call foul. It changed the entire dynamic of the game. Our guys were I don't know if you've seen it in years past, but when we start getting these bad calls against us, we get this like 1,000-yard stare look in our guys' faces. They start playing tight, and then I truly don't think the better team won. And I think you said that yourself. What do we do though? You know, how many times do we have to watch our school get screwed over? But we see it time and time again. You know, a couple other callers touched on it about with sports betting being so prevalent. Why should Vegas sports books dictate outcomes? Shouldn't it be the kids dictating outcomes? And if that's the case, how do we get some sort of inquiry on officiating? How do we get officials to have someone watching them? You know, maybe there's something
well,
we can
well, Josh,
create where it's like a...
There is someone watching them, but it doesn't seem like they're making any sense. I think the big flaw in the system is the fact that they're doing this ad hoc. Instead of picking the best teams of officiating, they're picking the best officials and making them into teams. And if you've ever officiated and you're with two people you've never been with before, it's virtually impossible to do a good job.
And I know the game is super fast-paced, but, you know, these kids have a lot on the line themselves, and I think you owe it just to what sport represents is to get objective officiating. And so if anyone's listening that's got any type of computer background, I think they should make something that's like an interactive app where you watched as we're watching the game, we can like say, hey, that's a foul. Hey, that's not a foul. Hey, this should have been a call that wasn't called. And I think it would be an interesting app that like people could interact with as they're watching these games. Because instead of just having literally, if you go on the Reddit thread about this, the Tennessee game, the entire country's chiming in saying, what is this bogusness? People are getting really upset. And, you know, I think something needs to be done. Because there's just too much money. I mean, I don't know how much money's in sports betting. You would know.
Well, I can tell you, there are billions of dollars are involved. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to hear from you again. AJ is up next.
Big Paul, you're looking good. You're sounding good and everything. You know, Paul, my wife, Velveeta, over there was telling me the other day, she says, Cat Daddy, you're going to stay away from that liquor store. You're going to stay in the bracket. She says, you know, AJ's calls turns water into wine, and Cat Daddy's calls has people sipping on chime.
I'm going to tell you, Paul, you got the April 15th, you got the portal opening up. I want to give a PSA out to all the future prospects, recruits, people entering the portal, et cetera. There's a reason that Auburn is down on the plane, Paul. Because we got yellow money, and Jimmy makes it rain. So we got yellow money. We got yellow cars. We got candy bars. We got yellow houses. We got yellow coupons for everyone. Always remember, down on the plane, Jimmy makes it rain. Life ain't funny, Paul, without yellow money or damn Eagle.
Another epically bad call from AJ. DC is up next. Hello.
Every year, the conspiracy against the University of Tennessee is more diabolical than the Kennedy assassination. I love it. I've never heard anything like it. It's every year. And you want to know why your fan base is considered to be a clown show? This is why. You got your ass beat. It wasn't a ref's fault. Get over it.
Ooh. I'm supposed to get mad at that. Hey, Handsome Joe is up next.
Well, I got to say this, Paul. First off, roll tight, roll, Paul Feinbaum, but I do not agree with that last call. Tennessee, everybody that watched this game knows they got screwed. I mean, there's no doubt about it they did. And I still think they're one of the top four teams in the country. And what the refs did yesterday, you know, I never encourage violence on anybody, and I don't want them hurt bad or nothing like that, but, you know, hooked up to a butt-kicking machine for about 30 minutes might solve a little bit of that problem.
Okay, Handsome Joe, nobody would encourage violence, but what would you say would be a suitable punishment for those officials?
I'd say three wedgies.
Three wedgies. There you go.
Right, three wedgies and a couple swirlies to go with that. And that'll get them back in tune. And if it don't, just repeat the process. But, hey, it was a good weekend for sports, Paul. The New York Yankees swept the Astros down in Texas. Denny Hamlin won the race in Richmond yesterday.
Denny Hamlin won again. At first I've heard that.
He won again, Paul. He won again. And, hey, it was a good one. It was a spin out on a wreck about three laps to go or two laps to go at the end of the race. And Denny wouldn't have won it if not for this. I mean, it was going to be Martin Truex Jr. that won. But the yellow come out, and that just, you know, but good for Denny. You know, it messed Martin Truex up, but it was good for Denny. But I will say this, Paul. I picked last Monday, Roman Harper was sitting in for you, and he said that his son had Alabama in the Final Four. And I said, well, I'll pick Alabama in the Final Four, too. That way me and Roman Jr. will both be winners. And, hey, it come to fruition. It come to fruition. But, hey, what can I say? Alabama's in it. Tennessee, in my heart, they deserve just as much as Alabama to be in there, if not more, because Tennessee, they've been playing lights out, you know, especially this time of year. And what happened to them yesterday, you know, it shouldn't bother me this bad since I'm an Alabama fan, but it does. And I just want to see a fair call.
I appreciate that, Jerry. You take care of yourself. Steve is up next in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Hey, Paul. I love the interview with Mark, man. They were so excited around here.
He's one of your favorite sons, isn't he?
Everyone around here needs to have a sign up for Mark. And man, it's just because it's just a great accomplishment and an honor, man. I mean, this is just awesome, man. Great interview, Roll Tide, and man, let's just keep on going.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. Thank you very much. Fred is next in Memphis. Oh, hello, Fred.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Listen, first of all, I want to make sure that I heard you correctly earlier concerning basketball referees.
Right.
Did you say that you hate all basketball referees or just dislike some of them?
Just the ones who did the game yesterday. Let me amend my...
Okay. I'll be 88 years old in June. And from late 1955 to the mid-1970s, I probably officiated several hundred basketball games. Small college as well as high school, all the way from the state of Kentucky to Arkansas to Tennessee to Mississippi. Now, I will agree with you. The officiating at the college level is at an all-time low. And it didn't get there overnight. It started about 5 years ago. And the game has gotten, first of all, too physical. Secondly, when was the last time you saw the lane violation
never
called? Which is, you can never, okay? Carrying the ball, palming the ball, that's carrying the ball, okay? That gives the offensive man too big of an advantage. So, yes. So what you need to do, one of my partners that I refereed with in Arkansas was Charlie Sane. And you may not recognize that name, but his brother, Johnny Sane, was in the Hall of Fame Major League Baseball.
I remember Johnny.
But so I have officiated a few games, and I will agree with you. And what is the solution? Well, get rid of them. Get you a new crew. Make sure they're in shape. They know how to position themselves on the floor and call the game like it's supposed to be called. If you stay in the lane 3 seconds, call it. Don't give them 10 seconds, okay? And if you stop your dribble, you get one step to pass the ball. If you stop your dribble to shoot, you get two steps, not three or four. So a lot of this bad officiating hasn't come all at once. And a lot of your better basketball coaches will play the game according to the way it's being officiated, particularly in tournament time. You come out the first 5 minutes, the coach will observe how the game is being called, and that's the way he will play it. So if you get into sloppy officiating, you're going to have sloppy play. I mean, it goes hand in hand. I have to say that I never favored the good players. I call it same everybody.
Hey, Fred, I hate to run, but we are late for a break. Thank you for the call from Memphis. We are back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.